NFL Sunday, Mutt, Keith, and Fourier Sports Radio WEEI. It is Patriots and Dolphins about 4 hours from now. It is a big game for the Patriots because they can lock up the division once again. We give them the division when the season kicks off, like first quarter of game one. They're going to win it. But they can really get it done today. It'll be, I think, we'll get to the record they could potentially set.
10 straight divisions.
10 straight divisions in this crap bag AFC East with a bunch of quarterbacks who might not ever turn into anything based on the way they played so far. That's a couple hours from now. Rich, good morning. How are you?
I am good. Mutt, how are you?
We are here in our studio. That means Christian Fourier is not here. He is in our Best Yet broadcast booth. Christian.
Hello, boys.
There he is.
Hello.
What's up, man?
This is unfortunate because Christian brings food, too.
I know.
And so he's down there all by himself. It's really a shame.
Yeah, I just dug it. I didn't bring anything today because I knew you guys weren't going to be here.
No,
Doug,
it's all right.
You need to be so. I have one complaint before we start.
Just here we go. Right out of the shoot.
Let's do it right out of the gate. Good for me.
Yes. Because I feel like this should be a company issue, personally. Like, just, you know, because this microphone, this shed, and I'm not even kidding, like this microphone especially, reeks of cigar smoke. Like, reeks. Like,
you got to take it up with your guys.
Well, you know why,
I'm not gonna make
Christian.
It.
That's got
early,
nothing to do with
I'm
us.
Not, this is the reason why.
Okay, well, you were. Well, okay, so people that don't know, down at the shed.
Let's peel a few layers
the
back
real,
here.
The real post-game show
right.
is Glenn Ordway, Steve D'Ossi, and Fred Smirlis. Those guys are addicted to cigars. And Doug Lane, who's your engineer,
so
by the way,
yeah.
is also one of those guys. Doug Lane will leave Fenway at midnight. I will see him.
Just ripping a cigar.
In driving home, window
really?
Down with the cigar.
Is that right?
That's how he relaxes.
Only after wins.
No. I think he doesn't matter for Doug.
Oh, is that right?
I've seen him with cigar no matter win, loss, tie, doesn't care.
Okay.
So they do the show in the shed after the Pats game, obviously, the all-pro tent before the game, during the game. Glenn does this thing where he gets up there and
long.
He's telling jokes.
Those guys are probably already there.
Loving life, I'm sure.
Oh, they're definitely
for,
there.
No, for a road game, they don't care. They're there anyway.
They're there anyway.
They don't have to be there. They're going to be there today. And the three of them end up smoking cigars in the shed, correct? Is that or is it
yeah,
around the shed?
Correct.
You tell me for you.
Yeah, and it's like the mics have been saturated. I'm not kidding. It's
you can't get that
disgusting.
Out either.
I feel like I'm
going to
throw up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I have such a thing with smoke in general. It's like one of the one things that like I refuse to kind of give up on. Like if somebody's smoking around me or if like it just – even if I'm walking down the street and like so, and I'm walking through a cloud of smoke, I want to turn around and be like, do you think I want to smell that?
Oof.
Like it just drives me nuts.
I mean, it's their right. You know, they can smoke outside.
If they want to like drag that cancer stick and just you know have it invade their lungs, they can do it all they
Throw
want.
Throw a dart in there, no problem.
Was that a game breaker when you were in your dating days?
If
oh,
a woman,
oh,
never,
yeah.
Did you ever made out with a smoker?
I sure did. I remember where and when. I can still.
You cannot forget. It's imprinted
still,
in his mind.
Chris, I'm glad you said it that way. I can still taste it. It tastes wet. Slimy ashtray.
Oh, that's awful. That is
yes,
so bad.
Yes. I remember, like,
no,
yeah,
that was a deal breaker
was,
for
if
sure.
If I was making out with a smoker, I was really, really desperate. Like, I was like, at that point,
yeah.
Like, I was like, I don't care. And then I remember, like, committing to it. I'm like, how do I get out of this?
I was going to say, you do, like, a look around the room. You're like, is this really it? Is this the only option?
Delicious
here?
Taste
I guess.
Of menthol saliva.
Oh,
like, a late
so
Friday,
bad.
Saturday.
Maybe you got
night.
A little
yes.
bit of a buzz, though.
Was
did you get a little
no,
bit of a buzz?
No,
wait a
no,
second.
No.
I've always claimed, because I have never smoked an actual
secondhand smoke.
Out of a box cigarette.
Like, me neither.
I've clove cigarettes I've had, other things
ugh.
I've smoked, but not an actual.
Worse.
Oh, cloves are. You mean about the Dave Matthews back in the day? It's like, oh, man,
oh,
these are real. This has come to ground. I'm earthy. I'm cool.
Mutt's
I'm
big,
wearing Birkenstocks at Dave Matthews with
a
tie-dye t-shirt.
A big Cigarillo guy. Guy loves Cigarillos.
I understand. It was a bad phase for me. But I never had an actual cigarette. Now I wonder if since I made out with at least a couple of girls who smoked.
You know, it was probably the one.
Does that
you
count?
For sure, no.
Am I a
yeah,
smoker?
Yeah. Well,
now?
I think you're that close. You're like more than secondhand smoke. Whatever that next level up is.
So I mean, this is now on Euphoria. You want to make it a company issue? That's fine.
You
want to
come
to Zarbano or Hannon? You can do it. But I think you can.
Isn't there four headsets down there? You've got
to
find
he's
one that's
have to
not.
He's
forget
have
that.
To change mine.
Talk to Glenn and ask Glenn. You work with Glenn every day. Glenn occasionally allows you to talk. In fact, you made news this week, shockingly. Glenn,
Fourier made a lot
Glenn
of news.
Shut up for enough seconds to let you speak and break a big story.
What happened there?
Around these parts. Why don't you talk to him and say to him, Glenn, I don't appreciate.
Do it on the air.
You doing this. Yeah, do it on the
do
air.
Do it on the air.
Oh,
see,
no, I've
see what he said.
Tomorrow. I've done it on the air before. I've done it. You know what I need to do? Because shame doesn't really work for him.
No.
You can't really shame him.
No.
And D'Ossi and Smirnoff, like those two guys, they're, you know, too old, you know, they're like stuck in their ways, you know. So, like, I got to figure something out. I really feel like this is one of those things where you got to play dirty.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think
what
you
do
have
you
to
suggest?
Play dirty.
Yeah, you know, you can't sabotage our shed because we have to go down there.
Yes, so you have to figure out something where, like, okay, like, I hate cigar smoke and just smoke in general.
Right.
So what can I do to them to, like, listen, like, send them a message? Like, if I'm in the, like, I'm in my own, like, mafia. I got my own mob.
I gotcha.
Like, and, like, you guys are, like, you know, part of my crew. Like, what are we going to do?
All right. See, you go to their tent and you chicken and milk bomb them. And I'll tell you what, wait, a chicken and milk bomb is.
I've never heard of this.
So you get, like, a gross piece. You get, like, a gross piece of chicken or any piece of chicken, just like an uncooked piece of chicken. Put it in, like, a Tupperware. Fill the Tupperware with milk. Put the lid on top. Hide it somewhere. Eventually, after like a day or two, the stink gets so bad that it pops the lid off, and then it just pollutes the entire area around you. The old chicken and milk bomb.
Really?
Yeah, get them.
Okay.
Put it in the tent. The only problem is you might smell it over by the shed. That's how potent it is.
Not the tent. Here's this. You want to play dirty, Fourier?
Yes. In his car?
Yeah,
somewhere?
In his car.
In his car.
You find a way to get that in his car.
But you gotta do it.
Or bologna on his car, because then it leaves a mark, right? That was back in the day.
Bologna on his car.
If you put bologna on a car, would hurt or the paint.
Just egg him.
I think that was it.
As he's coming into the studio, just
I like your idea, or like a raw fish or something like that in his car.
Yeah.
You know how in cars, if you pull the back trunk piece up, there's a spare tire normally. You put it there, he'd never find it. He's so little, he probably doesn't go back there.
No, God, no.
And then we send them like a some chicken. What was it? What is it?
Chicken and milk bomb.
And then we send them like a chicken and milk bomb, like wrapped in some newspaper and like a vest. And we send it to their house and say, you know, this is, you sleep with the fishes. Something
I like that. Cut off his horse's head and put it in his bed. Now we're talking. Now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah, I think. It's the
Do
only
any
way
of those guys own message. Horses?
Yeah. You have to take their motorcycle. That's what we need to do. Mess with their motorcycle. Because they're all, well, at least the Aussie and Smirlis do. Like, they love their bikes.
No, they both do. I don't know what Glenn loves, but what is Glenn?
Food.
What is Glenn?
I was gonna say, I think we know what Glenn
loves. What does
Glenn
say when you ask him nicely not to smoke in there anymore? What's the response been?
I don't
know. Or have you not really brought it up? You chickened out.
No, I do. I yell at him all the time. He's just stuck in his ways. He's like that old guy that like refuses to change.
I'm aware.
You know, it's like he probably
denies that the smell exists.
He's probably one of those guys.
Why? Because he's so used to it.
Yeah, he's like, you're fine. Don't worry about it.
I used to work in a bar. Like, remember the days I used to be a bouncer in a bar way back in the day.
Oh, you could
college.
Smoke in bars.
And
all the time.
It was insane. Like I worked at a country bar of all freaking places. I used to wear the white shirt, the boots, and then the freaking string tie that Philip Rivers wears.
Oh, the bolo.
After a month. The shirt was so saturated with smoke, even though I washed it every single day, it ripped. It just like you could just tear it because the smoke had just infiltrated like the cotton and everything else.
How often do you have to get physical as a bouncer?
All the time.
Did you knock some heads?
All the time. Yeah.
Nice.
All the time. I was. This was in L.A. too.
Because so you're like allowed to do whatever you want.
Country bar in
too.
L.A. must have been pretty popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was weird too because why are people like? It's like people just wanted to dress up as cowboys. You know, it was weird.
Cosplay.
And they didn't play country music. They played like hip hop. So it was like
a very confusing bar.
Okay, time out. When you said country bar, I thought I'm going there to line dance and some sawdust on the floor and some cold beer, and I'm doing some line dance with a woman.
It was called the Black Angus, and it was like a restaurant slash club,
like Black Angus beef, like a burger.
It was just a burger joint.
And you roll in there, and like, first of all, I let everybody in. I didn't care. Like,
didn't matter.
Fake ID
didn't matter.
You're all good.
Next thing I know, like, something happened every freaking night. And I was only 19. Anyways, I forged my ID so I could work there.
Nice.
And next thing I know, like some these bartenders come running in. They grab me like, hey, listen, we need you outside. We need you outside. I'm like, yeah, it's fun. Let's go. Next thing I know, some guy's got a crowbar and is bashing his car. He's like, yeah, go get him. Go get him.
Guy with the crowbar, I'm going to let him tire himself out.
No, I'm not going over there.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
It was all because of the smoke.
There it is.
Black Angus Steakhouse? Is that it?
Yeah, Black Angus Steakhouse, yeah.
It's still there. Sherman Oaks, California?
That's it.
There you go. let's see what the Yelp review is. It's not like a country.
How are we doing?
Oh, wait a second.
No, it is. It
had
a big little like dance floor, a huge little, yeah, it was like a, like, people rolled in. And
how
like
many stars?
None. Was it the one in Northridge?
Yes.
Let's see.
Take a look at it.
Right here.
It says famous alums, ooh. Christian Fourier. No, it, which is crazy.
Went there with three of my girlfriends. Creepy bouncer would not stop staring at us. Right. Will not go back. That's weird.
It's super tall. Kept talking about Colorado. Very weird.
You know, I'm going to start someday.
I don't care if Charlie Weiss get a bad mouth me years later on WEEI. I'm going to start. I promise. We'll get to Weiss. We'll get to Gronk because Fourier broke plenty of news. I hear today. We'll get to a bunch of other stuff because it's Patriots and Dolphins, and so that means Everyone gets all hot and bothered. It's a game in Miami, game that's going to be a struggle for the Patriots. And a game that Rich Keefe set off the air for you. I was floored.
Oh, I'll say it on the air. Said, I'm not scared.
You explain this to the people in a foray what you said about this game today.
This is a more losable game than next week against Pittsburgh. Foray, what do you think of that? You've played in both places. For some reason, and I usually try not to get myself caught up in, oh, well, 5 years ago this happened because the rosters are different. But for some reason, Belichick and Brady own the Steelers. They own the Pittsburgh Steelers, whether it's in Pittsburgh, in Gillette, wherever, doesn't matter. Whereas Miami, even bad Miami teams in Miami, have found a way to beat the Patriots. So there's a chance they certainly win both, but if I had to predict one loss, it would be today, not next week.
Yeah, see, I would agree with you. Other than the fact that there's been so much attention to how bad this team has been in Miami, It's more than last year, more than a year before, because of just the recent stats and the record now. It's like one out of the last, like, they've only won one of the last five. So that to me is a significant stat that Bill can really use and really hammer home and like demand like good practice habits and just everybody's way. I mean, especially Brady is as crappy as he's been. But and then you couple that with the fact that everybody's healthy, everybody's been playing better. They're slowly getting better and better, more dominant, more confidence on defense. It's just, it doesn't look, and then just the opposite for Miami. Like, they're injured. They have been, you know, getting by the skin of their teeth. Their wins aren't even that impressive. So I would agree with you, but, and I would say with the Steelers, they're a wild card. I don't know what you're going to get with them. They're more dangerous to me than Miami. Just
why are
by
they?
Hold on.
The wild card would be the Dolphins playing well today. The Steelers. I know they've lost a couple of close games here.
Yeah,
they're not a wild card. They're loaded offensively.
They might be literally a
even
wild
with
card team.
Someone named Jalen Samuels at running back today, and not James Conner. Defensively, they're blitzing more than they ever have. They're going to be all over David Carr this afternoon. I know what they are. The Dolphins.
You don't know, but that's the thing. You don't know what they are.
The Steelers?
No, I don't think. No, they from 1 week to the next. 1 week they put up 45 points. Next week they get shut out. They're so inconsistent. They're so up and down. One moment, like, you're like, holy crap, like, you can never stop them. And then they just do something stupid. So, to
that
me,
big
they're
lead
more
dangerous.
They do, by the way, they do both
you know
those
what
things.
They are? They're like a baby rattler snake. They're like a baby rattlesnake.
They're like a baby rattler snake.
Yeah, like a baby rattlesnake.
Country bar again?
Perfect analogy.
Is that a drink at the Angus Steakhouse?
Give
me a baby rattlesnake.
A baby rattlesnake.
Make it a double.
Let me explain.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So a baby rattlesnake is more dangerous than an adult rattlesnake, because an adult rattlesnake, when it bites you, it releases and then you don't get as much venom. A baby rattlesnake doesn't know any better. They're just kind of stupid, and they just go on instinct. So they bite you, and they just keep their fangs in you, and then you get more venom from the baby rattlesnake. More people will die
creature feature
from a baby rattlesnake than they do an adult rattlesnake bite, because more venom is produced, and they just release it more.
Love
that, to me, is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're just dumb. They're inconsistent. They don't know any better.
But they're talented, though. Like they,
of course
they
are.
You say all these things.
They're always talented.
Miami is all those things he just said. They're not talented. I don't know how they are 6-6 at this point in the season, because they are not very good.
By the way, I wish we had tape of this. Back in week four, Mutt, I remember specifically Dolphins were
3-0. I said something wrong about
– No, this is more I said something right.
Oh, okay.
I forget about what you said.
Sure.
But they were 3-0. The Patriots were 1-2. And I said the Dolphins were going to be 8-8 at best.
And you were right.
You said you said, what are you talking about?
And I said, before the injuries and the issues they've had this year.
This is what they are. They always are. Because even when they're 6-10 or when they're 8-8, they play well against the Patriots down in Miami. I don't get it. I don't know if it's because it's warm. I really don't understand. Brady's lost more games to the Dolphins than anybody else in the history of football.
Throwing the most interceptions to the Dolphins on the road in Miami than any other building. 15 picks in Miami.
And Joe Robbie Stadium. Now, Xavien Howard, that is a big one to me. Like, he's their best player, and he's out. So, I mean, it's hard for me to go all the way and say the Patriots lose. I do think the Dolphins cover, was it like 7.5?
Yeah, right now 7.5.
So, I mean, I think it's going to be close. Whereas
so
Pittsburgh,
think, with all that though, Keith, don't you think it's kind of like just a smokescreen? Like it's just a mirage?
Yes.
Well, it should be. They blew them out earlier in the year. They smoked them earlier in the year. They're a much better team than them, but I can't figure out why Brady has a losing record down there, because they're usually not that good. The Dolphins made the playoffs, once in the last, 8 years, whatever it is? They're not that good.
No, and I agree with you. And they're always hovering around 7-9, 8-8, 9-7. Like, a great year is 10-6. So, but based on, everything that's happened, the state of their team, the state of the Patriots team, I just feel like this is just one of those games where now, okay, and unless like Brady just throws up another, you know, a stink bomb, which he's been known to do,
a chicken and milk bomb.
Yeah, chicken and milk.
He might.
Let's do that. Yeah, I don't see it happening that way. I feel like the Dolphins are worse than they were when they came here earlier in the year, and the Patriots are better.
But they're still playing for something. You know, sometimes like the Bills and the Jets in 2 weeks, that's nothing. They're done, cooked, ready to go home. The Dolphins still have a chance at a wild card spot. They're 6-6.
Yeah, but
I mean, I know they're not very good, but I'm saying they still have a lot to play for.
Though. They're not. And right. I tell you what, though, it's easy to get. I think we've all gotten sucked into this whole like Miami record, which there's a lot of stats, there's a lot of history there. So like you sit there and go, well, I don't understand it, so it must mean something. And I'm like, yes. So if they go out there and they lay an egg, it's all mental. Then it's just nothing has changed. It doesn't matter how good you are or what you've achieved. They just something about South Beach that kind
of. Well, what about this? On top of it, just them on the road this year. The Patriots on the road are not the same team as they are at home.
That's they've lost their bad games. They've against bad teams on the road.
Oh, all their losses are bad teams. I mean, Titans are kind of like the Dolphins, I would say, and then the Jaguars and the Lions are terrible, and they've just always had slow starts. Even that Jets game a couple weeks ago, they ultimately covered and won by two touchdowns, but that was ugly for a while. And Miami's better than New York.
See, yeah. This Miami thing, Christian, and you played in these games. I heard Gerard Mayo talk about it. He said the humidity's a joke. That's not even a factor at all. I heard Charlie Weiss tell us this week that it is. You go down there and games are hot, and you're not 30-40-degree difference in December, so it can be an issue. Doesn't the idea the Patriots have a chance to, this is their line, not mine, but win a hat and T-shirt game, offset some of that the histrionics with the Miami Dolphins that they know going down there today, if they win, they not only win the division, they make it a 16th consecutive year they have a 10-win season. That would tie them for the most all-time. The last team to do that's the 49ers during their great run from 83 to 98. They had 16 straight 10-win seasons. A win today, you lock up the division, you also clinch that. Doesn't that offset some of this Miami stuff, knowing what they have to play for today?
Well, yeah, go ahead, Christian.
Well, and I would say just, I think, to your point, Rich, I would sit there and I would look at their road record, and I would say each one of those losses had something very specifically in common as far as just, you know, the relationship, the history, go from Jacksonville, their familiarity with the team, and, you know, how it was their Super Bowl. Then you go to Detroit and everybody that was there and how important that game was to them. Then in Tennessee. And then the other thing they had.
What about
in common,
the Danny Amendola factor?
Think is he even playing today?
I think he's trying to. He wants to play, but he's always kind of hurt. So
how weird is that going to be when like Amendola and Edelman like see each other from across the field? Like, is it like one of those slow motion beach scenes where they run towards each other?
No, it's the Spider-Man meme where they just are both pointing at each other. They're just like, they don't know what to do. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah. The cartoon one.
Yeah,
the old one?
Yeah. They're like, what?
He's been good for them when he's played. He's been good for them.
Yeah, he's been like their leading receiver.
Yeah, I don't think they expected that, but he's reliable. So, but the other thing is just how you mentioned earlier is just the slow starts. In Jacksonville, the halftime score for these games, first for Jacksonville, was 21-3. In Detroit, it was 13-3. And then for the Titans, it was 24-10. They have not started off well. They have played from behind. The other team started believing that they can win. The mystique of the Patriots kind of wore off. And they, to the point that, like, with the Titans, started mocking them by running the same plays.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah, I just feel like there's so many things. So not to do the whole cliche thing, so it would be important for them to start fast for the Patriots, right, just so they don't get screwed with the whole mind trip of the history of playing in Miami. That's huge for them.
Meanwhile, let's say they take care of business today. This has been a weird year for the Pats. You mentioned the losses they've had on the road, the teams they beat. They're not that good. They're Brady, Cliff, Gronk injury, the running back in and out, what's going on. They win today and go to 10-3. The Chiefs fall to, let's say the Ravens go in and upset the Chiefs today defensively. Then the Chiefs have to play the Chargers on Thursday Night Football. You could be playing for the number one seed next Sunday, 4:15 in Pittsburgh. After the year they've had, where none of us think they're as good as the vintage Patriot teams, they may have a chance on December 15th or 16th, whatever it is.
Well, no, if they win today and the Chiefs lose, they have the tiebreaker with Kansas City. They would be the number one seed. Both teams would be 10-3. They beat them head-to-head.
Yep.
So just one of these. So they have two chances to lose between now and the next time the Patriots play. If the Patriots beat Miami, The Chiefs could win today. They could lose Thursday night game.
Because the Chiefs have the Ravens, Chargers, and at Seattle.
And the Pats are winning their last two. That's what I wasn't factoring in.
You're
guaranteeing those last two, I think, with the Bills and Jets. So you're right. The Chiefs drop one of these two games in the next 5 days, and the Pats win today.
Yeah.
You're playing for the number one seed in the AFC next Sunday in Pittsburgh.
After being one and two and getting smacked around by the Lions, and now they could be – they have a really good chance at being the number one seed. The other kind of team to look at would be Houston. They're 9-3. They've won 9 straight, but the Patriots also have the head-to-head tiebreaker with them.
Yeah, so what a great little situation they got for all the teams that did kind of, you know, figure it out, that they beat – the fact that they beat Houston early in the year. I don't know how that game would be if they played them, like, next week. I think the outcome would be a little different. And the Kansas City Chiefs, obviously, you know, taking a couple on the chin and probably, you know, having a realistic chance of losing, what, two out of their next four based on, you know, they still got to play Seattle. They got to play San Diego. And who do they have today again? They have
– today's the Ravens.
It's the Ravens at home there in Kansas. Lamar Jackson going to start for them on the road at KC.
That's a huge game for Baltimore.
Lamar Jackson may have, like, you know, 500 yards rushing today.
He might. And another concussion.
And here comes Joe Flacco at some point. So I totally disagree with the idea this game today
is more
losable, because they're just not – I don't care.
Don't ignore history.
The Miami thing to me is blown out of proportion. And you, of all people, who mock the history thing over and over again. What does that matter? Now,
but because I'm
all of a sudden,
use,
you're buying against the Dolphins?
And I'll tell you why. Because I'm also consistent. Because next week I'm going to say they always beat Pittsburgh. So why aren't they going to beat Pittsburgh? They always beat Pittsburgh. So I have to be able to follow that up with this one. This is a screwy one. For some reason, down in Miami, all kinds of issues. Against Pittsburgh, playoffs, regular season, doesn't matter. And the Steelers have more talent almost every one of those matchups, but yet the Patriots or Tom Brady is like 11-2 or something nuts against them.
So, I don't know. For me, I can see the game being close. I could see the Dolphins covering the –
What's the M&M investments at now?
7.5?
No. Yeah, that's what I got.
I got an 8 now.
Oh, hey, I'm taking that then.
William Hill, who
home
does
dog?
The,
oh, it's a nice home dog.
Does the booking for our friends at Twin River, have it at 8. There are some places now. Caesars in Vegas, 8.5. Bovada has it at 9.
Whoa.
So this thing is trending upward. I could see them covering it, but with a chance to win the division today on the road.
Well, they won the division week 4.
Well, officially.
When they beat the
hat and t-shirt.
That's
game.
Right.
So we'll see if other people are buying into your theory. This is a more losable game. The next week at Pittsburgh. 617-779-7937, the phone number. Go ahead, Christian. Sorry.
No, I just, you know, you talk about, like, you know, a lot's been made of, like, the history and all that other stuff.
Sure
I would
has.
Say this is where, like, Bill does his whole, like, you know, George Patton speech, you know, and he's, like, using all these cool quotes talking about, like, if you don't know and can't learn from your history, then you're going to be doomed to repeat it, like, you know, if you can't remember your past, like, you're going to be condemned or something stupid like that.
Wait, what's that?
That's
one?
That's very deep.
If you don't,
that's very
if
deep.
You
I'm
don't
very deep.
Remember your past,
you're
going to
you,
be condemned or
cannot,
something.
If you
I'm
can't
motivated.
Learn
I'm ready
from
to go.
History, if you can't learn from your history,
yeah.
right, then you're doomed to repeat it. That's basically me paraphrasing whoever said that quote.
Mm.
That's what it is. So it's hammered in their head. It's over and over again. It's video, it's old school tape, it's
isotoner,
you know,
gloves,
indexes.
Yeah,
it's, like, that Marino? Is what it is.
Die, Duper? Damn, die.
This is why I think I would call blowout in this game.
Ooh.
I would say this is going to be there's because I'm saying, are you going to sit there and go after? Okay, so you had the bye week, you played the Jets, and that was a tough divisional game on the road. You came out of that one, you let them hang around longer than they should, but everyone was coming back, so it's fine.
So does that mean you're going to
pick the Vikings?
You're going to pick the Dolphins on TV? Is that what this means?
No, I can't. No, this week everybody gets the same vote. Next week's going to be different. Next week I'm going to go back and forth. This one, I just can't see them losing this game in any form or fashion. Like, none whatsoever.
We said that against Detroit. We said that against Tennessee. We said that a bunch of times. That's why this does feel a little bit different. That's why this game, it's losable. This doesn't feel like a layup to me on the road in Miami. But it does feel like when the Patriots have had chances like this to wrap up the division, even in spots like Miami, and Brady talked about that, was at the 0-3 game when he talked at the podium a couple days ago. It feels like that. They may keep it competitive because a lot of teams on the road have kept it competitive or beat the Patriots this year. But I'm not calling a blowout. I do feel confident in the Patriots winning this game and the Dolphins keeping it close. I guess injuries could be a factor here. We'll come back and talk about Stephon Gilmore, who is now a game-time decision, might not play in this game. The Dolphins have a big injury as well. We'll find out from you guys. You feel the same way that the rich does. That you have this as a potential losable game and a more losable game the next week at Pittsburgh against that explosive Steeler offense. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your calls coming up. We'll get to Gronk and TB12. I want to talk to you guys about this ridiculous bet that this poker player in Las Vegas is currently doing and see if we can convince Christian to do it for amount of money. I want to talk about Kyler Murray today because he won the Heisman last night but doesn't want to play football.
Love Kyler
in
Murray.
The NFL. We'll see what you guys think about that and a lot more. 617-779-7937. Pats Dolphins NFL Sunday.
They're like a baby rattler snake. They're like a baby rattlesnake.
Can't play tight end in this league and just work with bands.
Well, Christian weighed all 230 pounds when he was playing, so his body was a little different than Gronk's.
I would pump your brakes for a second.
You can't do it. You can't sit there. You got to take a little bit of the flexibility and strength and those little smaller muscles.
He doesn't do Pilates.
Okay, and you still need to work the big one.
The big one.
Yeah.
The big one.
The big one.
Work the big one, Fourier.
That was NFL Sunday's Christian Fourier this week breaking some news.
Huge.
That was pretty good. Helped our show, I think.
Jeez, it helped everybody's show.
Helped every show.
It really did.
Talking about the Weiss. I mean, this is a big deal this week.
Extra Fourier. Content.
You created a little buzz.
Do you want to be NFL insider, Christian Fourier?
I like that.
I think there's room.
Yeah, one time when I first got out of the league, somebody asked me if I wanted to represent their station as their NFL insider.
Is that right?
You know, I don't see a lot of ex-players. I've never seen an ex-player be an NFL insider. That's always for the
nerds.
You know, the nerds.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Schefter, Rappaport, all the
5'5" nerds. Who are the insiders.
Tommy Kearns, the Mike Girardis of the world, the Mike Reeses.
But when a former player says something down that road, you believe them because you know you're like, well, they're obviously tied in,
or you believe that he's talking to somebody.
Exactly.
Who knows? I have seen Fourier in action talking to his people. Texting back and forth down there at the shed. This is not something he pulled out of his ass. When I heard it, I said, this is backed in reporting by Christian Fourier,
our
NFL Sunday's NFL insider.
Correct.
Christian Fourier.
Pretty good.
Are you surprised about the reaction to this, Christian? I think people took this as, Gronk is training the wrong way. He screwed himself up by going to TB12 and bands. Exactly what it sounded like.
Yeah, but first of all, this is a couple of things that make me laugh is other guys who are kind of tied in. They're like, no, this is what's really going on. No, this is what I heard. You're wrong. I'm like, whatever. Okay. What I try to do is I think everyone kind of sees this with their own eyes. You can sit there and watch him. Michael Lombardi talked about it after week two or week three. He's tied in more than anybody. He won't ever admit it, but he gets so much information, and he's watching film. So what all I want to do is get confirmation. I want to know is if what I'm seeing is correct. Okay, and then, any more information I can get, fine. So I knew that he was he was morphing into this TB12 guy. He felt great. He had lost weight. He had trimmed down. But then you see him just breaking down, and that's an indication of a guy that just isn't in the weight room the right way. He can't do that workout. I don't care who says it. I don't care who tells me. I don't care if Alex Guerrero sits in the seat, sits on my lap, and I'd be like, you're freaking wrong. It can't happen. You can't be a pliability guy and be explosive. The two don't go together.
I'll say what I was saying when I heard we play the sound. Was it Thursday or Friday? My first reaction was, explain last year then. Because Rob Gronkowski was telling anyone who would listen, as you know, Christian, or as Mark Daniels or Tommy Kern, I love how I feel. I feel great. It's the best I've felt. He played 14 of the 16 games, actually healthy for the postseason. So,
bands and makers. Dance.
How do you explain how healthy and how good he was a year ago when he was locked into TB12?
A couple things. Luck.
Luck?
I would say that. Yeah, luck. Okay. I would say luck.
For an entire year?
Yes, sure, sure. And I would say eventually it catches up to you. It doesn't. It just does. I've had really unlucky seasons in my life where just every last thing that I did, I would get something from. Right, I would get a pulled muscle. I'd get a back. I'd get an ankle, and I was rehabbing everything. I was never able to catch up. Yeah, luck has a lot to do with it. It's not your time, and then you get unlucky, and your body can't recover from it. And I would say this, when you're doing the that pliability type of training as a big offensive lineman, tight end, that kind of has to be both. The toughest part is sustaining your strength So when you start off the year weaker than you normally do, like, you don't gain strength usually during the season. You get weaker. So if you're already a year behind, then by the next year, like, it just does. Like, you can run from it, but it eventually will catch up to you. And then if you do get hurt like he got, and then you're already weak, and now you can't get strong because you're hurt. Like, and then when you come back,
that would be my question about it is, because right now, and I know he was on the injury report, then he was off the injury report and whatever, but he's got an ankle and a back injury that he's dealing with. He's missed 3 games. So it's like chicken or the egg. Is he not working out a certain way because he's hurt, or is he hurt because he's not working out a certain way? Like,
see,
I don't know what the answer
is. I would say, again, I said this last week, if I was him, I would probably think that he would probably wishes he – I would regret my decision. That's what I would say. I would regret my decision.
Even after the year he had last year, as healthy as he was?
Yeah, well, I mean, hindsight also 2020, right? So you have, like, now you're in the situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I agree with his – like, he decided to go all in, which is kind of what you need to do. If somebody has a new form of training and they're trying to convince you, you can't, like, just kind of put your toe in the water and only jump in when it's comfortable for you. You have to kind of, like, you know, just close your eyes and just nesty plunge into it. And that's what he did. And it worked. So there's a history of success there. So now, like, you're brainwashed. Like, you're bought in. And anything else anybody tells you, you're like, no. But I had one of my best years. So I can understand, like, how he kind of, like, has been convinced that that's the right thing.
Well, can
for
you
him
do
–
well,
do?
Help me out then. Why can't you do both? You know, we saw in that video the Tom versus Time docuseries where Guerrero and the guys, including Brady, are mocking Julian Edelman because he wanted to go bench press, right? They were mocking him. Bench press is all to show muscles and beach muscles.
My way is the only way. That's all those. They're all a bunch of Jim Joneses is what they are.
What now?
Jim Jones.
They're all a bunch of Jim Joneses.
Okay, but why?
That's going to throw Mutt for a loop.
Yeah. Why can't you do both?
No, you should do both.
He needs to, especially tight ends, right?
Yeah.
Of all positions, tight end, linebacker, those are the guys that should be doing both.
Yeah, but okay, so just go percentages now. Are you 60-40? Are you 75-25? I mean, what is it? Like, you know, what is it?
Don't you think that Gronk...
Well, with Guerrero, it sounds like he wants you to be 100-0.
But don't you think Gronk was doing things a certain way for most of his career and was also hurt for most of his career? So if anybody should try something different, it would be him?
Yeah. Okay. I think it's listen, you know, you keep doing the same thing over and over again, right, and not getting any changes. You just look nuts. But no, I like the fact that he tried something new. But my issue is his position, like, he has to be point of attack strong. Like, there's no hiding from it. Like, I don't know, like, what to tell you. And you can see the difference his ability to not only engage, finish blocks, hold blocks. I mean, he's a big, powerful guy anyway. But if he's the best that there ever was, then okay, he should pretty much win every battle. Now he's not. And that's not saying that he's not any good. I just think that he's off, and then he needs to kind of, like, I would start over if I was him.
Well, how do you do that during the year, though? And
see, that's
you
can't.
And
now you're kind of screwed,
if he's now thinking about, and this is where it gets into a team thing. We'll get to your calls here in a second. The team is going to owe him a lot of money next year. I'm with Tommy Kern, who has said on multiple occasions he ain't back next year. No matter what happens, he takes a major pay cut,
this is it.
He is not going to be here. So if you're Gronk and Fourier's right, you're Gronk, Fourier's right, and you've now trained yourself out of shape for that position. If you're feeling pretty good and you still feel like you're happy with how it's going, do you really change knowing the team's going to cut your ass anyway? In 3 or 4 months from now, can you change on the fly during a season? And just all of a sudden go in there and start lifting heavy weights and saying, I'm going to be back? Doesn't seem like you could do that during the year, right?
No, and an in-season lifting program is so different than an out-of-season lifting program. Like, an in-season lifting program is really about 45 minutes, and you're trying to fit everything in 45 minutes, and you really will only lift 3 days a week. And then imagine, like, on a Monday after you have play against the Dolphins, you got to go in there and lift. Like, it just – all the weights are lighter because you're just sore, and you may not even want to do it, and you may push it till Tuesday. And then you got to work out Tuesday, and you still feel like crap. And then you go, I'll push my Wednesday to Thursday. And, you know, then you go, okay, I'll push my Thursday to Friday. Well, it's Friday. I don't want to be sore for the game. So everything has been decreased. And the guys that get hurt are always chasing their tail. They're always chasing it. And it takes them a long time to get back up to speed. And then a lot of guys don't get back up to speed, and then you're just – I mean, you're just never yourself. So you'll have glimpses of, oh, wow, there he is. Oh, there's the old Gronk. Oh, okay, whoa, what was that guy?
But even before TB12, though, Christian, he had been hurt forever in his career, going back to dropping in the second round because of the back issues. While he was lifting out and benching and squatting and doing all that stuff, he was still getting hurt. Like, that was the biggest knock on him as a player, was that he wasn't out there because he was hurt. So now, all of a sudden, I'm to believe that he went to bands, and so he gets hurt again, and it's affecting his play. The injuries have always affected his play, whether he's bench pressing or, you know, doing pliability.
Well, okay, then you can chalk it up whatever you want. To me, he's weak. Okay,
I was going
to
say, that's the biggest difference, is when he is on the field, he doesn't look the same.
Yeah, he's just
forget about, you know, being hurt or not hurt. It's when he's out there, is he the most dominant player on the field, which he normally was.
Okay, so I'll go back to the Buffalo game, right, where he gets knocked off his route by a linebacker, that rookie linebacker out of BC. Now you could say, okay, was he hurt and he couldn't hold, or is he just less powerful? Now it's relative, right, because he's a big, strong guy, so. Like, not, you know, him being weak is like, for us, is like, well, he's still powerful. But right. In football terms, it's different. It just is. And I just don't think, if you put him on if you started testing him, I think he'd be significantly weaker than he would, years past. And I think it started at the beginning of the season. So this has been something, hey, I feel great. I feel good. Okay, well, oh, crap, I hurt my back. Oh, now I got an ankle. I was good if I could sustain it without being hurt, but now I'm hurt. Now everything catches up for me. It's like worlds are colliding, and there's just, once it happens, you just kind of panic because it's like, oh, crap. Not only you start regretting your decisions, you know, you start figuring out how you can overcome it and how long you can last and how long you can hide it. Everybody sees it. There's not one person that I've talked to, you know, that doesn't see the same thing.
Let's get your phone calls in this. 617-779-7937. Gronk is off the report. He is going to play. We don't know if Stephon Gilmore is going to play. We'll get to that in hour two. But Mike is in Framingham waiting patiently. Good morning, Mike.
Yeah, someone stole my thunder. I was going to say, when Edelman was bench pressing, they're making a big deal about that stuff. I have friends, you know, that do all types of workouts. They do yoga. They mix the stuff up. And they do weight training and stuff. There's not just one thing you do. So, and Guerrero made concussion water. So to trust that idiot, I don't know.
But I hear you, Mike, but if the guy who trusts him the most is Brady. I mean, Brady has seen, in his mind, Brady has seen this unbelievable resurgence here late in his career where he feels like he's 10 years younger. He's playing at an MVP level, and so he's able to be the poster child for it. Look, it works for Tom. It works for me.
No, you know what? And look at Drew Brees. There are other players that are still playing late. And a lot of it has to do with the way football is nowadays, too. So if Brady was doing this back in, like, the 70s, then I could see it. But no. It just I think it happens to be just a coincidence.
I mean, it's still impressive, though. I mean, I'm not going to – he's right. Like, it would have been more difficult for Johnny Unitas to play 20 years than Tom Brady. And we're probably going to see more quarterbacks. You know, Breeze is 39 right now, and, you know, Rodgers is 35, and he wants to play. We're going to see more quarterbacks play till they're 40, but I'm not going to dismiss it. Just be like, it's so safe now.
And you hear I always go back to that Tom versus time stuff where Brady talks about he's able to sling that mother bleeper practice. Yeah. It doesn't hurt. The shoulder's not sore anymore like it used to be when he was a younger player. And you're reading about Matt Ryan this year. Matt Ryan, who has to go through, you know, 30 minutes of shoulder warm-up to go out there and throw when he's playing in a cold atmosphere. He's not playing indoors. He's affected by it. What Brady is telling you is, look, I work with this guy. He set it up where I still feel like I'm 25, 30 years old throwing the football. And so maybe it'll come down to an evolution of the TB12 brand and the what pliability means for certain players. But for now, I mean, if you're looking at Brady and you're thinking, well, if I can do that to lengthen my career and feel good about it, I'm going to do it, right?
Yeah. And I mean, and that's the other thing, too, is some guys are more injury prone than others. That's just how it is. And Tom Brady, he's had one injury that's knocked him out. I'm not saying he hasn't been hurt before. He's played through plenty of things, but for 20 years, he's had one injury. He's one of those guys. There are others that are not, like Danny Amendola, who they're playing today. Doesn't matter what he's doing. He could be doing TB12 every single day of his life. He could be benching every single day of his life. It doesn't matter. He's going to be hurt a lot.
And did you, don't you think that that stigma was attached to Gronk, though? For
the hurt stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Still is.
Until last year, and you thought, okay, TB12 helped them shake that free.
Yeah, it felt like he was losing that stigma. It was starting, and I think that had a big reason for why he was so, I guess, outspoken in the offseason.
And that's why—that's probably why he's so frustrated this year, is because he thought maybe he figured something out and all that stuff's behind him. And now he's waking up and he's like, my ankle hurts, my back hurts, I can't do this anymore. What the hell's going on? Because he seems miserable, let's face it. I mean, he was talking again this week, asking the questions. He was asked if he was having fun.
Well, we'll come back.
Wayne Johnson was there.
We got all those. We'll come back and play some of that from Gronk. We'll get your thoughts. 617-779-7937. Pats and Dolphins a couple hours from now in Miami. Patriots now up to an 8.5-point favorite. We'll get to that. We'll talk to Tommy Curran a lot more here on NFL Sunday.
So you just got to take it in, enjoy it, and then keep grinding, too.
Are you enjoying it?
Yeah. It's enjoyable. Are you?
So far, so good.
That's good.
That's the cut that Rich mentioned. NFL Sunday, Mutt Keefe and Fourier, Sports Radio WEEI. It has been a weird, weird year for Gronk. Coming off the great year last year. Had that weird motocross thing in the offseason.
It was really the moment after the Super Bowl ended is where it all began. When they asked him, are you thinking about retiring? And he goes, how'd you hear about that? And you're like, oh, boy. It was immediate.
And that
as soon
lingered
as the Super
for
Bowl
months
ended,
from
wrestling,
there,
from yeah.
Action movies, almost essentially traded by the team. They had him traded. He said, I'm going to retire if you trade me. Brady reportedly went to bat for him. So it kept him around for at least one more year. But based on his season this year, he's not going to be back. And you're right, Rich, and you guys have all – I mean, we've all seen it. He's not having a lot of fun playing this year. And he's some weeks, like going into last week, he was great. He was laughing and having fun. This week, you can tell again it's starting to bother him, and probably because it bothered him out on the field. You saw just last week, not himself out there in the field.
No, not the same guy. Not the same guy at all. Maybe his worst game, certainly his worst game of the season. I mean, he was terrible. He had the two penalties in the game. Was not really a factor.
The first one of the game.
Yeah, he just looked all out of sorts. And then, you know, he doesn't seem as strong as he has before. I mean, normally he's tossing guys around. And it's not like he's useless. Like, it doesn't go from, they're better off without him. I'm not suggesting that. It's just you can't rely on him to overpower people. And I think Brady has also realized that he has made so many plays in his career where he's not wide open. And you throw it to him, and he just rips it away from the safety or the linebacker. Whereas now I don't think Brady feels as confident that Gronk's going to win that matchup every time.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, just being hurt will put anybody in a bad mood, right? I mean, just imagine just every day, like, dealing with just knowing that you're not yourself and, you know, and then yet still being criticized. And I would say we're so unbelievably just, I mean, I don't know, like, he's been so good for so long. And he's still good by tight end standards. He's still freaking pretty good. I mean, top three, easily top three. So I think we're just so spoiled, you know, with his production that it's like, oh, you know, it's like what's happened to him? Like he's gonna die or something like that. It's crazy.
More from Gronk here later in the week.
What's holding you back from being the most effective? Like why? Like where's that room to grow?
Just throughout my whole game. I mean, I can grow in the pass game definitely, grow in the run game even more at times, and. Just whatever it is, just got to go out there and play my best football.
So he's going back to the stock answers. And we'll see how he performs today. He didn't look good last week. He's on the participation report for a day or two, but is off the official list, expected to play in full. He played, 73 or 74 snaps a week ago. So the only play he missed was when he took that really low hit on his ankle, left for one snap, and then came back in. So he's been hurt, but he fought through it last week. The issue, I think, when people have had this reaction, Christian, is you realize they have nobody behind him on this roster that can come close to replicating what he does for Brady. When you had Martellus Bennett, people shrugged their shoulders and said, okay, Gronk's in, Gronk's out, fine. You have another option. Dwayne Allen, your guy, Fourier, out again this week. He sucks.
He stinks.
Our guy, Rich, who we put all our chips in.
I did like Hollister.
On what's his name? Jacob Hollister.
What's his name?
That's what he's become.
Oh, I know.
He's a non-factor. And so the reason I think the reaction has been stronger this year is because there is no other option, Fourier. If he's not out there, they have essentially a zero at the tight end position. Tom Brady.
That's pretty bad. And Hollister has been a big time tease. I don't even call him a tease. He doesn't even like get your motor going at all. Like, you kind of see him, you're like, oh, that could, well, that's a possibility.
He was like a, no. He was a preseason tease. Yeah. Regular season, nothing. I mean, a couple of grabs here and there or whatever. You want a stat of the day slash a trivia question of the day?
Sure.
How many tight ends in the league right now have more touchdown receptions than Rob Gronkowski?
Ooh. I would say, like, probably 20.
I was going to say 9.
Fourier is exactly right.
Wow.
20 tight ends. Ding, ding, ding. Thank you very much.
Doesn't James Devlin have more touchdowns this year than Rob Gronkowski?
Well, he's only got the one, right?
No, he had 2 last week, didn't he?
No, Gronk.
No, he didn't. Devlin did.
Devlin had 2.
Yeah, Devlin's got more than Gronk.
Gronk
for the year,
only
right?
has 2. Yeah.
Okay.
Does Devlin have 3?
I think Devlin has 3 touchdowns this year.
Yeah,
I mean, there's
does.
Some absolute there's some absolute losers on this list that have more touchdowns than him. Let's see.
I'll say loser or not.
Well, Chris Herndon, he's come on strong.
Not a loser.
Not a loser.
Nope.
Gerald Everett,
loser.
Michael Roberts,
loser.
You like him? Jonnu Smith.
No,
Eric,
not a loser.
Smith.
Eric Swip, Swope?
Swope.
Eric Swope?
Loser.
Demetrius Harris?
Loser.
Jordan Thomas?
Loser.
Cameron Brate? There's a couple of guys who are on IR now that have more touchdowns than him.
You play the – you know, well, I know some of these guys
I don't know who they are.
Cam Brate's the guy now playing in Tampa because O.J. Howard's out.
It's not
– Johnny Smith plays
Dallas,
for Tennessee.
Godart or whatever. Godart?
Who?
Godart? Dallas
rookie
Godart?
The Philadelphia Eagles.
The plays for Philly. He's
loser.
On there.
Zach Ertz
David
is back.
David Njoku. He was a high pick, wasn't
I like
he,
him.
From Cleveland. Yeah, there's a whole pile of guys here.
Does Kelsey have more than
– He does. How about Eric Ebron has 11 touchdowns?
God,
good
unbelievable.
He three
He'll
in a game.
Never, yeah. ever, yeah. ever come close to that again. This is a one-year lunar eclipse, that whole type of
this
thing.
This is the Peyton Hillis
well,
of tight ends.
Yes, it is.
If
thank
you're,
you.
If you're
yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Frank Reich went to Indy.
Yes.
They throw it 50 times a game, easy for me to say.
He had a comeback
he's got no one
against
to throw
the Oilers.
To. He's going to throw a Chester Rogers. He's going to throw it. They have nobody, so it's Ty.
Oh, and Doyle, the other
guy,
that was
an
All-Pro, is hurt.
He's on the IR, so it's
Swope.
Don't forget
Eric Swope. He's on that list. They love the tight end there in Indy.
You got Hilton, and you have
Dallas
Ebron. That's it.
Yeah. Is Ebron a free agent this year? I don't think he is.
Ebron?
No, because he re-signed. No, because Detroit let him go, and he re-signed.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, because I was going to say, man.
He was a bust. Yeah, he was a
he'll
bust
He'll have
in
that Nathan Eovaldi type contract, right? That 1 year where you play awesome, and then somebody overpays for you.
Monster year for him.
Yeah, it'll never happen
he
again.
He also has a rushing touchdown.
But he's the perfect type of player.
Ebron does.
He's got
12 total touchdowns on the
Jesus.
Season.
It's
outrageous.
That's the type of guy that would have been a fit for the Patriots. Right?
Ebron would have been,
looking
actually.
Looking for the
but he was
backup
a bust,
to
though.
Rob Gronkowski.
I would not
looking
have
for somebody
that.
To. But as a second tight end on a 1 or 2 year deal, as the Martellus Bennett for this team,
what's the bigger
they
drop
didn't
off?
Have it.
What's the bigger drop-off? Gronk to the next tight end on the team or Brady to the next quarterback on the team?
I think it's Gronk to the next tight end.
I mean,
now,
so
the
is Hoyer a better quarterback than Allen Hollister?
Yes.
Okay,
absolutely.
Well,
right. Allen's
so,
not on the field.
It's
and
not
Hollister's
as important.
Nothing.
Nowhere near as important. We understand that, right? And the Patriots
it's
can,
not even close they
can,
to as important.
They can make it work with whoever non-Gronk versus non-Brady. But the bigger drop-off talent-wise is definitely from Rob Gronkowski to Dwayne Allen and or whatever Jacob Hollister is.
Do you think
yes.
they're going away from
– He sucks.
Loving the two tight end thing because they've loved two tight ends since Fourier before Fourier like they've loved two tight ends. You think
they're you know what
are they
to?
Punting
you know,
on that
when they're no, good they, when they have they, two good ones it works but they don't have
no
two
but they
good
would
ones
force
right
it before they would for they would draft Garrett Mills and David Thomas they would force it before. Now going into the year, you only had 3 on the roster. One of them was hurt. You kind of Hollister was already kind of banged up by that point, and you knew Dwayne Allen was only going to block. So it wasn't like they were looking for two tight ends on the field at all times.
Yeah, but you know what? The fullback takes that position. So they run the exact same plays with the fullback instead of the tight end. Like,
okay.
So they'll run now the second tight end, how involved is that guy anyways? But
when it was Martellus Bennett or Aaron Hernandez, I thought pretty involved.
Yeah, and I would even say they tried to do it with Chandler. They tried they
right.
they
wow.
they've
not
always
Chandler.
Tried
that was not
to
great.
But man, I tell you what, the whole Aaron Hernandez and Gronk, that was once in a lifetime type of deal, right? You hit on both those guys.
But think about it.
In their prime,
it
was probably the best tight end duo in the history of the National Football.
Absolutely.
Those two together.
Before you think about it.
Fourier and Graham was pretty good.
Fourier and Graham was great. But they also.
Neither guy could catch.
Like Gronk and Hernandez was a second and fourth round. And now both those guys were better than where they were drafted. They both fell for different reasons. But Watson and Graham were both first round picks. So Bill Belichick likes a tight end more than maybe anybody else in the league. To invest 2 first-round picks in that? Like, yeah, they're obviously.
Telling?
Huh? Oh, no.
Who are you telling?
I'm telling Mutt. Like, I'm talking to Mutt. I'm talking to Mutt right now. Oh. I'm just saying, like, all the like they clearly are obsessed with the position, but I wonder if they're going away from that a little bit. Like, no, they didn't draft one this year.
I think if they had a second talented tight end, they'd be fine running
They tried trading Gronk this offseason. Belichick's gotta be thinking he's getting $12 million on the cap next year. We're probably gonna cut him, and they don't have a backup. There's not another guy. And well, it's not like he has to sit like Garoppolo. You could play the other guy. Like, they didn't. I'm surprised they didn't try to bring in a real tight end.
Why would you, if you're Gronk, because they don't, I don't think they, I mean, I think they love Gronk. They just, I think they're tired of paying him that much money. So I'm sure they're going to do the whole, hey, let's take a pay cut. My question is, if everything that Gronk was talking about, I only want to play with Brady, this, that, and the other. I don't want to move my house. I don't want to live in another state. Would he take a pay cut?
No.
See, I think
$3 million pay cut. He wouldn't go from what?
I don't think so.
This is where
nine.
I think Gronk Christian. I think Gronk might. I think the pushback he'll get is from Gronk Inc. I think they'll tell him that he has a certain amount of time to maximize his earning potential, and then if he goes somewhere else, if he is cut loose, he'll essentially get the same money, probably more than he's scheduled to get. Some other team will look at Gronkowski and say, on a 2-year deal, we'll overpay. We'll put him the Travis Kelce, big time tight end pay scale. And for a couple of years, he'll get paid. And so he'll want to do it, I think. But the people around him are going to tell him, you need to go make money right now.
See, I think he'd be surprised like what he would get on the open market.
Yeah,
I think
it's
a lot
great.
Lower than he
why?
Probably thinks
well,
it is.
Why do you think that?
He's lost the benefit of the doubt of being healthy. Like, he's just not reliable. So
yeah, if he was a free agent, for example, what would he really get?
Yeah, I mean,
how many years? First of all, you couldn't give him a lot of years.
He's already played nine. Something similar to Jimmy Graham.
Trey Burton just got $8 million a year.
He's a nice player.
I don't think he'd get that. I don't know if he'd get that.
Jordan Reed makes almost $10 million a year.
That's bad because he's hurt all the time. That's a really bad.
Jimmy Graham, who had the same injury issues, but he missed plenty of time when he played for the Saints and Seahawks.
No, Jimmy Graham's a lot more healthy.
He signed a three-year deal, $10 million a year. Jimmy Graham just got this offseason. If Gronk's a free agent, you guys are nuts. Some team's going to look at him and say, we'll get him healthy. We'll get him back in the weight room. We heard Fourier on EEI say, get him bench pressing and he's back. Somebody's paying him. He's getting $10 million.
If he's a free agent, you're paying for 10 games. Just like, okay, so think about it that way. So you look at it and go, God, okay, what are we really paying for? So we have to be okay with him playing 10 games.
And he could retire
any
second.
He's a Hall of Famer if he walks into camp.
Of course he's a Hall of Famer.
Someone is going to make him the highest paid tight end in football. You guys disagree?
No way.
Disagree.
Not even close.
Disagree.
No way.
Here's the top five. This is average per year of total value of the deal.
There it is.
Graham's at $10 million. Kelsey's at $9.3 million. Jordan Reed's at $9.3 million. Gronk right now is at $9 million.
Yeah, he's not getting more than 10.
Olsen's $8.5 million. He is getting over $10 million a year for two or three years.
No, he's not.
There's no doubt in my mind.
I don't even know if he's going to play the rest of the season.
Jimmy Graham just made 10.
He may have 1 year where he makes that 10, but the rest of the contract is just options, where it looks good on paper, but it really maybe it's chalk filled with incentives.
Here's Jimmy Graham.
If you're another team, I would throw so many incentives in there because I can't count on you.
Here's Jimmy Graham's games played by season.
Sure.
15, 16, 15, 16, 16, 11, 16, 16.
That 11 12, was big.
12 and counting. I was about to be huge. 16 again. He's not even close to Gronk.
Yeah. He's been pretty – he's soft as puppy poop.
But all he does is catch the ball. Gronk still does ball. When he's healthy, he's still an excellent blocker.
Well, don't show him last week's film.
He didn't get that first down.
That was a bad look
for Gronk.
That was a tough game for him.
You're just hoping that he – to me, it's going to be – I'm actually almost hoping it happens just so we can kind of figure out, see if we're all right. Like, what would Gronk be like on the open market?
I think he'd be the highest paid tight end in the NFL. Highest paid guy.
Man, no.
I tell you what.
No.
More than Jimmy
Graham. I could see. You know who would do that? I'll tell you the teams that would do that.
J-E-T-S. Jets. Jets. Jets.
Yeah. They would. They're going to send Le'Veon Bell and Rob Gronkowski, and they're going to think they're going to the Super Bowl.
We
did it.
The Redskins, they do it. They're stupid.
The Raiders.
The Raiders. Yep. Oh, easily. The Raiders.
Who's the Cowboys tight end?
Jay Novacek.
Jason
Witten. You think Jay would love
to
have Gronk?
You went back to Jay Novacek.
I love Jay Novacek.
So did I.
He was a good player.
Very underrated.
Yeah. Wyoming guy.
Yeah, really underrated.
Good player.
Yeah, he was. Really he never gets the love.
He was so properly rated.
No, he wasn't. Everybody talked about Aikman, Irvin, and Smith. Like, what about the tight end out there?
Stop dancing and put it in there.
Making plays out there.
Yeah, nobody talks about him. They need to do it more.
Who is the Dallas tight end? That's actually a good question.
Right now? Look it up. I have no internet connection here.
No, you know, one of let's see here.
I have no idea.
Mike Ditka.
There he is.
That's before.
They had Jeff Swaim, right, earlier in the year, but I think he's been hurt.
They have a guy named Rico.
Who is it?
Rico Gathers is one of their guys.
Rico Gathers,
he never
the basketball
plays.
Player?
I think he played basketball.
Baylor?
Baylor, right?
Was he the basketball player?
Yeah, he now plays tight end. They never play him, though, because he doesn't block. He's a great receiver, but a shocker, Jason Garrett doesn't think outside the box when it comes to the tight end position.
Runs tall, he's high, but he's able to capture the edge when he wants to go outside, and he gets big gains.
Are you upset that all the best tight ends are just basketball players? They didn't even have to play football all the way through high school or college.
Well,
they just played
the
hoops.
It's the position, that is the one position where the transition actually makes sense.
It does.
Like, if you're a power forward, Martellus Bennett, I mean, was an unbelievable high school basketball player.
Antonio
unbelievable.
Gates.
Gates, Gonzalez, Jimmy Graham. I mean, the best guy. I mean, obviously, Gronk didn't, but all these other guys, it's pretty ridiculous.
No, the position is, especially, like, you can – Graham is not a tough guy, which is weird. Like, did you see that video going around of him, like, missing blocks and just being soft with blocks?
Yeah.
And here's the thing.
Oh, he's overpaid.
It's funny. He had such a tough upbringing. I would just assume, based on like just how his childhood was, that he would be a little bit hardened and like, you know, tough.
Yeah, not
and, like,
there.
Not afraid of. But he is like the softest, most passive guy I've actually ever seen. Unless he's just been, you know, conditioned to just, you know. I don't know what it is, but it's
well.
Weird.
He's a great receiver. Maybe now that Mike McCarthy's gone in Green Bay, he'll be freed a little bit. He's had
McDaniels will be a good fit there. He'll get him the ball.
We're gonna talk Josh McDaniels because that's not the best job for him. And obviously, since we last talked, Mike McCarthy's been fired. So now Green Bay's in the mix. We'll get to that and your Gronk calls at 617-779-7937. NFL Sunday, Mutt, Fourier, and Keefe.